Oh, welcome to another episode. We are ladies and we are in.
Woo woo.
Yes, yes. So, as we're chit-chatting, we're talking about the best version of ourselves. And how do we find that and how do we stay consistent with it on a day-to-day basis? Thoughts that were running through my head. The word present just keeps flashing. And I think that we get caught up in goals and the light at the end of the tunnel, and we forget to be present. I had a conversation with actually one of my patients the other day that she said, I'm struggling with depression. And I said, okay, do you have any medication for that? Are you under the care of a physician? And she said, no, I'm seeking a counselor. And then she kind of got a little bit more detailed with her home life and whatever. And that really made me back up and look at my home life with my kids and some of the things that I've encountered with them. And I thought, well, you know, I use the word messed up. Like, why aren't my kids more messed up than they are? And they're just not. And I had a reality check one day that, you know, when my kids were acting out and being naughty, I thought, what in the hell is the problem here? They have run off 7 nannies. Like, they have everything at their fingertips. What in the hell is the problem? Well, the problem was me. I was in the room, but I was not in the room. I was not present. And so when I made that green, or had that green light moment, made that connection that my kids weren't asking for this, this, and this. They were asking for their mom to be present. And so I use that example because I think sometimes we not only need to show up for our families and whatever, but it's okay to be present and show up for yourself. And how you do that and what that journey is for you, it's a journey that you figure out on a day-to-day basis. So,
yeah, so my son's in counseling. He's doing something called neurofeedback to help him with ADHD and anxiety and depression and help actually open up pathways in his brain. And it's really successful. Ashley's son has done this. I've actually had a lot of people that they've gone through it either as an adult or as a child, and it's really helped without medication, and he really just needs that. So his counselor said, she asked his permission to tell me what his love language test reaction was. So he took the 5 love languages mm-hmm. test, and his love language was quality time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh boy. Because I know I definitely disappear into my bathroom for like an hour and a half every night, and just I'm on my own. And then I'm obviously thinking, like, I should go be with my kids right now. But they're doing their own thing. So I have to kind of push into that. But it's interesting. And I said, well, Cooper, if you like quality time, why won't you sit down and eat dinner with us? Because we battle with that almost every night. We have to, like, force them to hang out with us for dinner. But I think that's what you have to do, is you have to kind of force the issue sometimes. So I took the test. My love language was kind of straddled between words of affirmation, which was interesting, and then physical touch, which doesn't surprise me. I'm all about right. the cuddle, the snuggle, right. the little hug, the little love pat. But yeah, I like words of affirmation. So that was interesting.
That would be a good thing to retest on. Yeah. I would like to do that.
She yeah. said everyone in the family should do it yeah. and then put each other to the challenge to do something of, like, so Coles and Gary's, surprisingly, or not surprisingly, were acts of service.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper or Coles was acts of service, and I think it was quality time for him as well. Yeah.
So that's how Gary. So theirs is acts of service, meaning that's how they show love, or
that's what they receive love.
Okay.
So Cole last night was like, he asks me all the time, Mommy, make me popcorn. And I'm like, no, make your own damn popcorn. And so last night, Mom, and I go, yep, I will. And he goes, do you want to? And I go, nope, but I'm going to do it anyway. So, and he asked me to do his hair like every day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I'm in a hurry. So I
Isn't
have to.
That's a big one, yeah. The love language.
Mm-hmm. So
learning that.
I've always, like, thought about testing myself, but I've never thought about testing my kids.
Yeah.
And I think as you get older, mm-hmm. doesn't that love language kind of change?
It probably does. But so the therapist said that she took the test and realized what hers was. And she said, you know, I never thought I got very much love from my parents, but I learned as I was older, I wasn't getting love in a way that I could receive. Mm-hmm. And so it's all about learning what your love language is. Then you can communicate it to someone else and maybe they right. can make an effort in speaking your language. And then when you learn your loved one's languages, then you can be there in a way that they can receive it. And so it can help strengthen your connections and so that everyone can be living their best life. And
it saved our marriage.
That's cool.
And I don't think in any formal way, but I think once I realized my husband's way to show love to me was acts of service. Mm-hmm. But what I was wanting was attention and affection. Mm-hmm. And so realizing that he shows me and is a wonderful partner because he will make dinner every night. Mm-hmm. He will do all the chores. If I said I need something or I need you to do something for me, he's Johnny on the spot, you know. Mm-hmm. If I need a good long cuddle session every night, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so realizing how he expresses his love was acts yep. of service was a huge deal. And then I realized how he received love is words of affirmation.
Yeah.
And so me saying, I can't even tell you how much I appreciate you making dinner again, mm-hmm. or I'm so thankful you go do the grocery shopping, or I can't believe you fixed my car this week. Mm-hmm. And he beams yeah. when he gets that, which he's a very confident person. So you wouldn't think that's mm-hmm. his love language. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it changed yeah. how we interacted, and it just makes everything so much more pleasant because I'll know when he's doing something, he's telling me he loves me in his way.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I thought that's really, yeah. And yeah, it is interesting. Gary too, because his love language is acts of service and he works so hard. It's like he never stops. So, yeah, but, and I do make sure I say thank you a lot, but yeah, I need to be more helpful to him, and that's what shows my love to him. And he does appreciate when I step up and help more. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
How would we say we show up for ourselves? How are we present with ourselves?
Well, we were talking a little bit ago about taking care of ourselves. I think that recognizing that there are things that we need to do for ourselves as we age to prolong our lives and to stay healthy, whether that's getting a colonoscopy, getting a breast cancer exam, your mammograms, your preventive health, and then diving deeper into this gut health and different stuff and realizing that our bodies are such a gift and how to take the best care of them and how to love them and accept them regardless of their shape or size. Because, you know, I hear so much about that negative talk, how it can literally, the neuropathway counselor yep. actually said that as you say those things to yourself, you know, like when you learn to ride a bike, you get a crease in your brain. And then if you haven't ridden a bike for 5 years, you hop on and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then you're like, here we go. Mm-hmm. Because it activates yeah. that crease in your brain that's formed. So if you are telling yourself, I'm a fat pig, if you tell yourself, damn, I look like shit today, it will make a crease in your brain. And then that's your comfort level. So that's how people get stuck in negativity and maybe even cycles of this or that within your family, is that that's where you sit comfortably. And so she said, you really need to work on your positive self-talk, like we've talked about, but it took it one step further to say that that is going to make a crease in your brain that you go back to if that's your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And you don't want that
tattooed
to be
on
your,
you.
God, you don't want that to be your comfort zone.
No.
And I think that I somewhat have that. And so, yeah, take the bubble bath and do the things mm-hmm. that make you feel good, whether that's putting a mask on your face or taking a nap or spending time with your friends. Don't feel
there
guilty.
You go.
Don't
that's
feel
a good one.
Guilty yeah. to take that, because like Gary will be, I'm like, I'm going to lunch, and I go, well, of course you are. And I'm like, I just look at him like, are you kidding me right now? Do I say that to you when you go golfing? I'm going golfing. Right. Of course you are. I'm like, have fun, babe.
Yeah.
It's funny. You have to
have
remind
a great time.
People
get
of that.
Out.
Bye. Yeah. But anyway, don't feel guilty. Don't let yourself be shamed for doing what's important to fill your cup and
yeah.
have your good time with your friends.
Yes. Quality time with the girlfriends is definitely one of my evolutionary mm-hmm. moments of self-happiness.
Yeah.
Was creating those relationships and spending the quality time and not putting it aside because I'm too busy or too, you know, I just don't want to go. No, that is so important to who I've become as a person, is that quality time with girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Well, we got a text from our mutual friend the other day, and it was so sweet. She said, because things weren't going to work out for when our get together was. And she was like, I know this isn't going to work out, but I want to say how much I appreciate that you are all making this effort for all of us to get together so that we can spend this time. So even though it might not be happening, it was so sweet that she said, I recognize the effort and the desire to spend time with me. Yeah. And that was loving mm-hmm. and affirming to her. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty sweet.
That's yeah. wonderful. Really
sweet. She's a sweetheart.
And a good reminder to when you think something like that, say it.
Say it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. impact that person's life. I saw a meme yesterday. I think it said, if you think a nice thought about someone and you tell it to them, it'll be a fleeting moment for you, but it may stick with them for the life.
For yes. sure.
And it's so right. You know, sometimes things people have said to you, that it's just so random for them. You have in your brain, it's created a crease mm-hmm. that yeah. you go to that's your comfort going, mm-hmm. yeah, I am pretty good at that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, talk about what you were talking about with the saying yeah, yes and
so,
saying no.
So we were like talking that. About how do we live our best lives, right? And so one of the things I think I'm still figuring out and still working on, I go back to an episode where Oprah was interviewing Shonda Rhimes, I think that's her name, mm-hmm. the creator of a lot of pretty big TV shows and books and all those things. So Bridgerton, I think she's the writer of Bridgerton. So I thought one of these, it was just powerful for me because Shonda was writing a book about her experiment of the year of yes. And I think they've made TV shows or movies about this too, where the whole year the parents had to say yes to whatever yeah. came up. So Shonda was tended to be an introvert, and people would say, hey, meet us for dinner. Hey, meet us for drinks. Hey, come to this picnic. And it was always no. She had the reason. She had a right and whatnot. So she said she realized, is she getting the most out of her life? And no. And so she wanted to start saying yes to things. So she did a whole year of saying yes. And she said it was pretty crazy because there were things that came up, people that asked her for things, people that needed help on things that she's like, okay, I would not normally do this, but I'm going to say yes. And she writes this book about all of her experiences that she had. And then in contrast, Oprah talked about her challenge of saying no to things. Mm-hmm. There were so many things coming to Oprah, and I can't even imagine on that scale.
God, right?
People wanting her to be involved in things, and people needed her time and attention. And Oprah struggled with saying yes to everything. And so, and then spreading herself too thin. So how did she had to learn that it's okay to say no. And doing that in a way where it's okay and you don't have to feel bad. So mm-hmm. I struggle with that because if someone says, hey, let's go here. I'm like, yes, I'm in. Hey, let's go here. Yep, I'm in. So my calendar between now and next August already has, you know, vacations and trips booked for things that everybody says, hey, but, and so when we get together with my youth group, we're always like, okay, we have the next two trips planned. What's the third one after that? So we're always booking that out. And because it's so important, we do, and we try very hard to stick to that. Mm-hmm. So then I have had to learn to say no to certain things. Like, yeah. will you be, you know, a chair on this board? And I'm like, yes. And then a week later, I'm like, you know what? I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't do it because I'm not going to do it service. And I'm not going to have time. Yeah. So learning how to say no to things has been pretty key to my, because I'm pretty much a yes, I'm in on everything. And then I've had to learn how to scale that back.
Interesting.
To preserve my own self-health
yeah,
and wellness.
You have to.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I say yes to myself a lot. that yes is justified by, Ashley, invest in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's the best thing ever. So I do say yes to myself a lot. But I do find myself saying no to my kids more. And I probably should find a really happy balance there.
No to what kinds of things?
Well, Xbox shit.
Oh.
And
yeah.
and you know, and dirt bikes and all that kind of stuff. When really, you know, like I have set boundaries with, like, here's an example. My kid, I did get him a really nice mountain bike. Okay. Is it top of the line? No. But it was about $1,500. So it wasn't like it was cheap. He's been really, really hard on it. And it's been in for repairs like nobody's business. Okay. Well, I've paid for all of that. And I did tell him, like, from here on out, like, you need to go figure out what employment looks like. You need to, if you want new tires. You need to buy them and figure out how this works. I will help you, you know, but this whole, hey, I need this, I need that. And it's just my hands out. Not so much. But then my youngest, he hasn't had that opportunity for me to, you know, invest the way I did in the oldest. And so now it's his turn. Well, then the oldest is looking at him going, mom. And he just forgets. Right.
Right.
So I have to kind of remind, well, listen, dude, this is, you know, I did this for you and this is where I give you the keys. You just decide if you want to stick them in and, you know, open that door to your own financial security and learn what that looks like. But I have to do this for, you know, my other kid. And he don't like it. And I hate it when there's contention like that. And so it's so much easier for me to just be like, whatever, I'll just do it because I don't, you know, I don't want to have to be that hard ass mom. Yeah. But then I'm like, no, Ashley, like this is how you create good humans and teach them what life is all about. So that's hard for me too, because, you know, you want to give the world to your kids, but
it's hard though when you like our kids have, I can't say they haven't ever wanted for anything because there have been plenty of things that we've said no to. And if they want it, they have to use their birthday money, use their Christmas money, whatever it might be. And they do treat it really well. It's fascinating to see, like, they have an Oculus. It's like a virtual reality thing. And they've bought both of their Oculuses that they have, and they take really good care of it. They wipe it down. They clean it. They do take care of all of their stuff actually quite well. We don't have a lot of damaged things. Their bikes get beat up because we buy them crappy bikes because they're not really riding them that much. But yeah, they do take care of their stuff. But they both have jobs right now, which my 14-year-old was like, he was the one pushing for it. Like, I want a job. I want to buy my own PC because he knows I'm not going to buy him another one. He doesn't like sharing his brother's PC because his brother eats popcorn and Cooper thinks popcorn's disgusting. And he touches it with his greasy fingers. And I want my own. I'm like, whatever. Then get a job. That's what I used to always say. Get a job. And so he freaking did. Granted, we have to drive him there and pick him up. But he's loving it. And he's loving that independence. And he's
so
proud. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Ugh.
He's so proud of himself. He's like, he literally loves that he's good at it because he's such good at customer service and like being personable. And he's like, and I cleaned mom and I mopped. And I'm like, that is so cool. So it's really fun to see it. Now, Cole, my older one, he's like, yeah, I basically get paid to talk to my coworkers. You know, they wrap chocolates and they do stuff, but it is not hard work. And he likes that. Yeah. Where Cooper's like hustling. It's such a different personality, but whatever. Mm. But yeah. They're living their best life this summer, keeping them busy, which is good because neither one of them likes sports. So,
yeah. I wish mine would go get busy. Yeah. Cooper keeps saying he's missing that green light where you can't just walk in and they're going to say, yes, I want to hire you. Like, you have to get in line with the rest. You've got to go through the interview process. And it's not going to just walk in and then you start that day and get paid that day. Mm-mm. Like, he's got to understand what pay periods are. And so
in training, like, Coop had to go through training and he had to read stuff and read handbooks and be prepared. And yeah, he did a lot of, like, they did a lot of training and stuff prior. It was kind of cute. But then now, once you got to drive him everywhere, which is fine.
Well, I did tell my kid he's not getting a driver's license until he proves himself. And you know what? That's really hard for me too, because I pulled up grade point averages and I'm like, yeah, that's just not where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And you literally have about 11 school days left to make that difference, mm-hmm. or there's no driver's ed. And then I think, oh, I really want you in driver's ed. I really want you to run my errands for me. Yes. But then I'm like, gosh, why can't you just perform? Like, I've seen you blow tests out of the water. This is lazy. Lazy. Yeah. But how do you tell your 14-year-old, go be the best version of yourself. Go kick some ass, right? They look at you like,
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so. And you think that they would watch you. Okay, so I think that, you know, you set that example for your kid hoping that they are going to look at you and be inspired, right?
Right.
I don't remember being inspired. My parents worked.
Yeah.
Crazy all day, every day in the education system. I don't remember being inspired by that.
But
I was inspired to get some guests.
Yeah, exactly. In my car. Well, yeah. So, but I think about it now, like my mom used to always be like, if you're a little bit sick at home, you can be a little bit sick at work.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Now it's a whole different thing because of COVID and everything, but nobody really wants your germs. But those things, even though they're just in there, they're ingrained. So I'm hoping that our kids watching us hustle through the years, and I think that it is, I don't, you know, and we do make them do stuff and they are still reluctant to do chores. I think that's just normal with kids, but I think that your efforts, Ashley, they'll see those things. And even though they might not show up right now because they're teenagers and they're struggling with whatever, but
I hope so.
Because I'm like, my gosh, I hustle so fast. And I do remind them. I'm like, there's going to come a day when you're going to be like, oh my gosh, how did my mom do it all? And I'm like, I hope that's the day that you give me a hug and say thank you. Mm-hmm. And when I was little, I remember thinking that this was just life, right? My parents I was pampered. I didn't really have a green light moment until I got married and I wasn't on my dad's checkbook anymore. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at my husband going, your checkbook sucks. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have my dad's back.
Right.
No, yes, kidding.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I just had one of those moments. So I'm the top on my convertible Mini Cooper wouldn't close. Oh. And I was like, oh, car's starting to break down. Time to get a new car. So I'm like shopping. I'm like, what kind of car should I get? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I really want this one. And it's only $70,000. I'm like, that's a house.
Yeah.
Not here, but not somewhere here. There's a house for $70,000. And so I'm looking and I'm like, I just can't. Mm-mm. I want one, but I got to say no to myself. And then I'm like, I'm so proud of myself for saying no to myself. I'm like, this is stupid. But,
but still,
you go, no, because one of the keys, I think, to living your best life is being financially secure.
Yes.
Because if that foundation isn't there, everything else is rough, right?
Yes.
And so I'm not saying be rich. I'm just saying don't be heavy in debt and, you know, causing chaos for yourself or others. Be financially sound. And it's easy to say. It's not easy getting there. And it definitely took many years of not being financially sound to get financially sound. But so that was one of my car things. I was like, oh, but we've said no car payments, right? I'm like, oh, shit, that's a lot of money. Oh,
right.
I can't swing that. So, like, okay, back to the Mini. Just pull on that. And then the next day, the top just magically worked and closed. And I was like, it was the universe saying, stay in your Mini.
Stay in your little car.
It's a great car.
Yep. Keep your money.
Keep your money, keep your Mini.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute. Keep your
money. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what else? I was just thinking of something and sure shit. It left my brain. What we were talking about earlier.
Living our best lives.
Nabbit. That's what, again. There's
not comparing ourselves to others is a really good one.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. It's so easy to get that green-eyed monster and to look at someone else and be like, why don't I have that? And why don't I have this?
Yes.
And realizing, and like Ashley said, being present, like gratitude. I mean, you hear all of this about doing a gratitude journal and stuff like that. And I do think that whether it's that or it's prayer or it's meditation, being grateful for what you have, because my goodness, I do that a lot, actually. Like I'll be in my backyard and looking around and and it's just, I'm just like, how am I here? Like,
aren't we so lucky?
We're so freaking lucky. Granted, we've worked our ass off to get there, but thinking how I, you know, my place I grew up in was fine and everything like that. But looking around, I'm at peace and I'm happy and I love my life. And it's so easy to wander around your house and take it for granted. It's so easy to just, but then if you just take a moment and look around, take a moment and breathe that in, what you've achieved, look around and see the beauty that surrounds you. That gratitude is huge for just loving what you have and where you're at.
Well, I remember 10 years ago, you know, being poverty, welfare mom. Mm-hmm. And I just wished for where I am today. Mm-hmm. And that makes me just sit back and go, you are just kicking some ass, Ashley. You are. Not too many people could walk in your shoes, mm-hmm. but I mean, and it's just straight up a stepping stone. But I do remember when, and I use that as a, I don't ever want to go back to that. And I know what it takes to get where I'm at and maintain it. So be very grateful. I heard something a couple of days ago that kind of like it just kind of opened my mind just a little bit. There was a preacher that said, you know, when people pray for, you know, make life a little bit easier or whatever, they get irritated because it seems like more struggles come. And so it's like God has blessed you with obstacles, so you learn how to get over them. You know, if you want to learn, if you pray to, you know, like you want to learn love, people are going to come to you and show you how to do that. You just have to recognize that. And so being present and having that step out of the box moment, I think is key. You have to really check your surroundings and be like, what is this? You know, is someone teaching me something? Is
right.
It totally right. is.
Look around for that lesson in life and what you can learn from it, whether it's.
Or maybe you're that person for someone else. Yeah. You know, somebody once told me one time, you've heard me talk about my family just a little bit and some of my, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had a lady say, Ashley, have you ever thought like you just reach and want their acceptance so much? Maybe that's not your job. Maybe your job is to be the teacher. And that was an aha moment for me to be like, no, your job is to get to know you and help them accept you for who you are. Mm-hmm. Now that's a battle in and of itself, because mm-hmm. I am so headstrong. But when some things do come at me, I sit there and go, is this really a battle that I want to fight? Do I really want to argue my point or just love them? It's just easier to
love. So my sister, Karine, on a trip a couple years ago said, we're talking about politics and the use, and we can be very conservative in our ideals. And Karine is more liberal in hers. And so we were talking about, you know, like, government assistance and all these different things. And she goes, you know what I've learned to say? And I've used this now so much. She goes, I'll say, you might be right. She goes, because it makes people feel good. But what she's really saying is, you're so not right. I was like, I'm totally using that for me. Oh, instead of going, you're not right, or I don't agree, going, you might be right.
Yeah.
And that might is a really big word in that sense. You might be right. Like, this might not be, you might be right. I don't got to take this on because it's not a challenge I need.
You know what? I'm totally going to say that to my mom every time she comes at me. You might be right.
Because it gives them a sliver of hope that they might agree with them.
Yep.
Yeah. Isn't that the best?
That is awesome.
You might be right. I'm like, God. Yeah.
And actually, to hear those words, some people might stop in their tracks and go, whoa, I think I just got the weight on my side. You're right. I might be. Right. And then it makes them think that your wheels are turning.
Yes. Yes.
When really?
When you've said, you might be right.
Yeah.
You might not be. That's one of my favorites.
You keep thinking that.
You might be right. I use that at work a lot. Oh, actually, and when actually they half the time they are. You're probably right.
That's awesome. I think another component to living your best life, like you were saying, Ash, and you too were saying that thing that you say to somebody might completely change their day.
Yeah.
Or just, and everybody's been talking about this lately, don't ever assume what's happening in someone else's life. Like, you don't know what's going on with the person sitting next to you, so always choose kindness. I mean, that's kind of a global thing right now. But I think making it your mission to be of service, Ash and I were talking about this last week, how we can reach more into the community. And that's a goal for us for sure, is to reach more into our community and get more connected and to be more of service and just get engaged. And so I think that, and it's hard to balance all of that with the stage of life that we're at right now, to balance that and find that time and still have time for ourselves and not always say yes. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a struggle. But in lieu of taking on those big obstacles, you can do your smaller things, whether it is, like, I saw a woman today in the elevator. I was like, complimented how sweet her baby was. I let her walk in the elevator first. I let her walk out of the elevator first. Have a great day. Like, even just making those little, you look nice today, whether it's something small or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Giving people compliments and, but not like cheesy ones.
Genuine.
Not like genuine. Yeah. Like, yeah. Sharing that love, even if it is uncomfortable for you. You know what I mean? Making those little things and, yeah, so being of service in whatever way works in your life will benefit your life and help you. It fills you up while you're filling up someone else's cup.
We have plenty of positive thoughts about other people. We just don't verbalize them.
Right.
Training yourself to say those things out loud is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
People want to be around people they think appreciate them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do that a lot at work. We're big into that. And we've tried doing it like on a where everybody recognizes it, but it can kind of start to feel tedious to feel. So now, I mean, all of us are just, we just do it to each
just
other
naturally.
All the time.
Yeah. It's better.
We're big into that because that culture is so, it's so nice when people will reach out and help you. And then making sure that when you're not doing something that the first thing you go and do is look where you can be of service to someone else. And it's very easy to fall into a selfish mode of, I need to get this and this and this done. And yeah, that's true. But at the same time, look around at your coworkers and they're actively taking care of something or putting out some sort of fire. Or even if they don't need your help, the fact that you're willing to help, like, is there anything I can get you? No, I'm good. Thanks. You know what I mean? Like, that's showing up for somebody else. So,
and that's a culture. Mm-hmm. And so then when someone selfish comes into that culture, it chews them up and spits them out.
Yeah.
A great
get
thing.
Out. It is.
if you have that culture, you won't allow selfish people to be productive. You know?
Yeah. And
it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a really good thing. I appreciate that so much about my coworkers and my doctors that they really do. They're really big into being of service and enjoying ourselves when we're at work. So, yeah, that's another good thing. Do not work at a place where you're miserable.
No.
Oh, you're.
No.
You absolutely. That's a big one. A secret to living your best life.
Ugh.
Being in a place where you're
appreciated.
You feel like an asset.
Give where you're helping the bigger good, where you're participating, where you're appreciated. You're in the right seat on the right bus. My gosh. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of life. Because if you work at a place where you're unhappy or they're unhappy with you, it's just, there's no way that doesn't spill into health issues, finance issues.
Oh my gosh.
Home issues. Yes. People always say, leave work at work. Easier said than done.
Right.
It definitely, you may not talk about it when you get home, but it's written all over you.
Oh,
it is.
Yeah. Where I used to work. How was your day? Shitty. Horrible. Every day. Awful. I feel like I was in a blender, chewed up and spit out like literally every day.
Yeah.
Mm. And I did it for so long. I was angry for so long. And now I don't have any of that for going on almost 5 years now. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can count on one hand how many times I've gone home irritated or have reflected on my day in a negative way where I have that wheel of pissed off and I wish I had said this and I wish that I could say this and get away with it. I don't have any of that. Like, it's so nice.
It's a weight off your shoulders.
Oh, my God. Just because we all have to work for the most part. We have, you know, right. I think about that all the time. Like, God, how much longer am I going to have to do this shit? But everybody's going to work for the most part. You know what I mean? It is weird how there's such a, like, an employee shortage right now.
Right.
Oh, totally.
Everybody's hiring.
I don't get it. Like, we can't find people. We cannot find people that want to work in a receptionist area front desk capacity at all.
Huh.
No one that's worth their salt. Right. Like, and it's really, really puts a strain on a business.
Yeah.
So, my God.
Well, and these people that aren't working, what do they do for money?
I don't know.
How do you pay the bills? Because love don't do it.
Literally, everybody's asking the same question. Where is everybody?
Right.
Because when I'm driving around, there's a million cars on the street.
Yeah.
You think all those people are going to work?
Well, when you think about it, Amazon built a huge hub here. So how many people do they employ? 2,000? There's 2,000 people went there.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
well, but
true.
Think of the population that's coming in.
But a lot of them sold their homes for so much, they may not need to work.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I guess so.
So they're all working, I bet, just somewhere else in these massive employment opportunities of
that are working from home. I mean, lots and lots of people.
That's the last two people three actually, are remote people, two out of Oklahoma. Once you learn you can do that, you go where the best people are, not geographic, you know.
We just had a coworker go stay home for a while and work mm-hmm. remotely because she has a new baby and she just doesn't want to give up that time. And yep. our boss is so pro-family. Yep. He's like, go do what you
need
to do.
Can we make this work? Yeah.
And I think it's so, she's like, I feel so blessed mm-hmm. that they're letting me do this. Like, it is pretty dang cool. But, and so we're just learning to operate on a different mm-hmm. level and yep. rolling with it. And we can still message them and everything on the computer. They're attached.
Yep.
They're just not physically there. So it is an adjustment,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
But we're figuring it out and rolling with the times because it's a different, we're sending people texts for pain. Like, that's another good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Learning the technology, rolling with what's current. And that's going to be tough as we get older to continue to stay up on all of that. You know, learning what's, God, the world is changing at a rapid rate. Mm-hmm. It is. And that's,
well, and our
and
kids
that's okay.
are teaching us.
And that's good.
You bet. Well, I was saying, my yep. kid, if I've got questions, I'm like, hey, show me how to mm-hmm. do
this. I know.
And they're like, oh, mom,
you just do this.
And oh, my gosh. My kids told me the other day that like, I didn't know style. I was like, what? What do you mean I don't know style? And they're like, our style in this day and age is so different than yours. And I don't know if that was like a slap in the face, you're 40, or if I'm like, nobody's listening to you. I create right. your style. Shut up.
Yeah.
But there is no style anymore for kids. They wear pajamas to school. It's so.
That's their style.
That's their style. It's, yeah. it's chill, I guess. Like, my kids are like, I just want it to be comfortable. Like Cole,
right?
I did buy him these pajama pants and he'll wear them to school. And he goes, everybody wears pajamas to school. And I'm like, okay. They wear the weird long socks.
We're all headed to the Star Trek outfits. That's what they said. It's all headed to Star Trek jumpsuits. We're all wearing jumpsuits.
Oh, my God. Pretty soon they'll all be at the same time.
Red and green and blue. That's it. That's all you get.
These are your three choices. Oh, my God.
Well, I ordered my kids' shoes the other day, and they were high tops. Yeah. And so, I mean, they weren't ugly. And so we ordered about 3 or 4 pairs, right? Mm-hmm. And that was how the conversation came out because I was like, oh, my gosh, I was wearing
high tops,
LA gear with the little fans on the side.
Do you remember the Reebok pumps?
Oh,
did
yeah.
You? Oh, yeah.
Remember that video where it's like, poof. You can blow God. It up.
Oh, my God. I forgot Brilliant. But that just popped into my head. No, I have young people that come in I've had some really cool teenagers that come in and we talk about this one kid's like, oh, man, I love acid wash. It's so awesome.
Oh. He's like, oh, my.
Like, loved it. And yeah. he's like, oh, and overalls are so cool. And I was like, oh, my God, I wore those when I was a senior in high school, one yeah. shoulder off, though. You know what I mean? One unfastened and one not fastened. And that, you know, the zippered pants. And the it's funny when all these kids would come in and they were wearing, like, those windbreaker that were kind of wrinkly. They're like, oh, yeah, this is vintage. I got this at, like, the DI. And they're like, fuchsia and teal and all this stuff. Oh. And I'm like, ugh, yuck.
Yes.
Yeah. But they're all wearing their Air Force Ones now and, like, and they're stupid.
400. I'm waiting for the hair to come back.
Do you think it will?
Well, the mullet's creeped in.
Oh, God.
Mullet's creeped in.
Oh, yeah. The mullet with the perm.
With the perm.
Yeah.
That was my sophomore year in high school. That was all. And Gary had naturally curly hair, so he didn't have to perm his. But I remember the boys getting their freaking perms. Oh, my God.
Well, I hope it does never come back.
Jeans. Yeah,
jeans. I showed a kid the other day. He's like, oh, it was my friend's son. He's 17. I go, do you know about pegging your pants? And he goes, oh, I've seen kids do that. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh. That was when I was in high school. So it is kind of fun to see. But we're like cringy about it. Like,
I hope the low rises don't ever come back really with the zipper that long.
Oh, yeah. No.
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 They look good, though. They look better than those ones that make your ass look like it's 2 miles long. Yuck. You know what's coming back big right now is freaking bell bottoms. Have you seen them everywhere?
Yes.
I think they're so cute.
Ew. I don't like them. I don't. The only
it's
thing
not
that's good
on my body type.
Big ass, big bells. No, big thank you.
Can I get a bigger bell, please? My ass is big enough.
So then you look like an hourglass from the waist.
Ding dong, ding dong as you walk.
God. No. My little friend, she's on vacation right now, and all of her pictures, she and her mother are wearing, and her sister are wearing these big old fray bottom bell bottoms, and so it's like I'm watching Dazed and Confused all over again.
Yep.
I just watched that the other day, and that's all what they all look like. They're wearing, like, their shirt
the
with Jordache. A notch. And then their bell bottoms and stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's the 70s right now.
It is.
It's so funny. Living our best lives in the past, which is okay. Well, there, at some point, there's ideas they run out, right? I got to say, right. This was fun.
So what's coming back next, do we think?
Parachute pants? I don't know.
Oh, yes. MC Hammer. We haven't seen those in a while.
Diaper pants. I've seen people wear those, like, in the dance world and stuff like that. Ugh. The low crotch pants. I don't know what they call them, though. They aren't called hammer pants. They're called something else.
They're called wrong.
Just culottes. Wrong. Yeah. Culottes. Palazzo pants.
Yes, there it is, palazzo.
They've been having a lot of those I've seen lately in different things and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, how funny. Just be comfortable. I have gone much more for that.
If we've, and, like, find your style. Live the best you.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable in bell-bottoms, you just own that shit.
Yeah.
I think so.
Whatever you feel
there's
good.
There's not a lot
in.
Of thing that's, like, trendy anymore. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think there's trends, but they come and go so fast. You just need to do what's right for you and what works for your body. And, yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely don't. My style of dress right now is just what fits in my closet. Shit. That doesn't fit anymore. My boobs are too big. Oh, my gosh. That's another side effect of getting older, too, is that for some of us, I don't want them to get any bigger. And they have. And I'm like, no. Smush
doesn't
them down.
Fit.
It doesn't fit.
Right. Stupid. All you see is a shirt press with two boobs and a round belly button with the guts sticking out. It's not good. It's not good. That's too tight.
It's too tight.
I'm going to go shop in my husband's closet.
Yeah, no kidding. Fits. Right. That fits. There we go.
Yeah. Why do women's shirts cut it at the waist? Stop it. Stop it.
I just
want a box. Give me a box to wear.
A muumuu. That's a muumuu. Where muumuu should be all the rage.
I wore those in Hawaii. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Captain.
Very nice.
So comfy.
Very nice. Yeah. All right. Are we shutting her down?
Yeah. Well, I hope you're living your best life. Or not, think of one or two things you can do to step it up a notch and
be present.
Enjoy your life.
Talk positive to yourself. Mm-hmm. Love yourself.
Love yourself.
Yep. Add some comments on, we'll post this on Instagram and Facebook. Add some comments on things that you do that you think have helped you live your best life so that other listeners can learn from you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
All right. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers, ladies.
And we're out.